This podcast is brought to you by Indian Health Service, Division of Diabetes Treatment and Prevention, leading the effort to treat and prevent diabetes in American Indians and Alaskan Natives.
Instituting modest therapeutic lifestyle changes to reduce cardiometabolic risk. I'm Ralph LaForge at Duke University and with the IHS Division of Diabetes Treatment and Prevention in Albuquerque. This is part two of our Modest Therapeutic Lifestyle Changes podcast. So how do we regain our enthusiasm as providers for modest but measurable therapeutic lifestyle changes? For most of us who have lost our frame of reference with respect to generally valuing lifestyle changes, even small changes, what incremental lifestyle change behaviors should we value for ourselves and our patients? It is now quite clear that pragmatic forms of lifestyle change programs can reduce cardiometabolic risk with or without dramatic changes in either LDL cholesterol or reduced body weight. Now, this has important implications in Indian country, where at least one recent report found that in those 18 to 40 years of age, the overall prevalence of the metabolic syndrome was about 54-55%, even after excluding individuals with diabetes. The following are some examples of these therapeutic lifestyle changes that can be instituted in the office or the exam room. Give your patients credit for every and each step they take in terms of walking, as recorded with a well-engineered, reliable pedometer, irrespective of laboratory measures of body weight. Prescribe walking programs through the systematic use of pedometers. Have patients record weekly step counts. Some pedometers have up to 6, even 12-month memories. And step filters, which actually filter out a lot of the spontaneous non-walking movements. And this all permits the patient to accurately record steps over a longer period of time without inadvertently resetting. Some examples are the AccuSplit 2720 or the New Lifestyles 800, two different types of pedometers. At the patient's return visit, chart and give credit for each and every recordable walking step, much as you would for charting their glucophage or their statin. There is good reason to believe that each intentional walking step, that is, muscle contraction, is an AMP, K, or PPAR activator working very similar to many of the anti-diabetic drugs. It's important to know that the step count itself is the principal outcomes measure, not the estimated distance or caloric expenditure. As an example, add at least 1,000 calories of exercise a week to existing weekly activity patterns in your patients. This would be the equivalent of adding approximately 10 miles of walking a week or 20,000 step counts on a reliable pedometer. In general, it's about 2,000 steps per mile walked. Ideally, graduating to at least 1,500 calories per week of exercise over time would be near optimal. That's about 15 miles a week of walking, depending on your goals. The American Indian Pedometer Trekking Protocols can help and are posted on the IHS DDTP website under the Quick Guide Card section on physical activity. A variety of walking pedometer treks ranging from a half a mile all the way up to 5-plus miles, that is 1,000 to 10,000-plus steps, can be prescribed, much like drugs or diets can be prescribed. Such treks can include sacred sites in the circuit as a means for engaging in more spiritual and thus more meaningful walks. Example number two. When asking patients to change their dietary behavior, first make changes in only one food group per return visit, or even one problem food within a food group, rather than wholesale dietary changes. The Mediterranean Diet Score is another example tool that is simple and that scores on a 0 to 10 scale the relative compliance with a Mediterranean dietary pattern. And it shows various healthier choices that follow the Mediterranean diet. This scale is easily adaptable to native populations. Individual and incremental changes in nut, soy, legume, fruit, and fish consumption can be translated to some level of metabolic risk reduction. Number 3, employ more objective measures of body fat changes other than just body weight. Many patients actually reduce total body adiposity without any changes in body weight owing to small increases in lean muscle weight as a result of new exercise programs, especially resistance training programs. Select skinfold measures can be helpful in demonstrating reduced adiposity and reduced total body fat. For example, the subscapular and or tricep skinfolds are particularly sensitive to changes in total body fat, as are others. No need to convert these millimeter skinfold changes to percent body fat. You just use the millimeters themselves as the outcomes measure. If you use skinfold measures, use only professional clinical quality calipers. There's really only two: Lange, L-A-N-G-E, or Harpenden, H-A-R-P-N-D-N calipers. For more details on skinfold assessment, go to the DDTP website, again under Quick Guide Card section, and select anthropometry measures. Example number 4. Write exercise prescriptions as combination therapy. Clinicians need to quantify and prescribe physical activity in terms of calories per day or per week, or step count per week or per day, as prescribed combination therapy with drug therapy when applicable. For example, 1,500 calories of weekly exercise when added to omega-3 fatty acid fish oil therapy would further reduce triglycerides and VLDL triglyceride-rich cholesterol, knowing that 1,500 calories of energy expenditure at moderate exercise intensities will oxidize intramuscular and adipose tissue stores of triglycerides and fatty acids, even much added to the effect of the fish oil itself. Number 5. Begin to objectively score and chart therapeutic lifestyle change behaviors in the same way you would objectively chart laboratory measures on each patient visit. Each therapeutic lifestyle change measure can be serially scored on a numerical or Likert scale, on a 0 to 10 scale, for example, and translated into some meaningful level of cardiometabolic risk reduction, with or without changes in lipids or body weight. For example, the number of weekly fast food encounters, as defined as any fast food choice encounter a patient has, regardless of the size or the caloric density of the food or beverage. Several metabolic syndrome clinics have reported average fast food encounter outcomes decreasing, as I'd mentioned, from 20 to 25 to 10 to 12 after only 6 to 8 weeks of intervention. This is a very helpful behavioral measure that depicts patients' food choice behavior versus calories or BMI changes. So again, you're measuring the behavior itself, which is really the bottom line and what we're trying to get patients to institute here. Example number 6. Systematize household, pueblo, domestic chores into a circuit of short utilitarian activities such that the patient expends 200 to 350 or even more calories per household circuit. This would provide a sense of accomplishing both household, yard, pueblo tasks, as well as generating increased daily energy expenditure. Again, there's a figure for this on the DDTP website, Quick Guide Card section. And the figure depicts a patient household circuit prescription form for which the patient rotates between 6 and 10 or more stations over the entire circuit. And finally, to conclude, many of these strategies are depicted graphically and narratively, again, on the IHS DDTP website, Quick Guide Card section link, and then under the physical activity and anthropometry links. Interested readers may email myself for more detailed protocols on systematic clinical pedometry instructions and much more detail for those at high cardiometabolic risk. They can also email me for more elaborate details on household circuit activity protocol instructions, or even for a 15-month metabolic syndrome cardiometabolic risk therapeutic lifestyle change flow sheet. And my email address is r laforge@nc.rr.com. Thank you for listening.